You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Each and every episode is brought to you by my good people at Greenwood Whiskey. It's holiday season. I suggest you go to your favorite liquor store, you pick up two or three bottles of Greenwood Whiskey, and you enjoy yourself from now to the new year. Yeah, man, it's Greenwood Whiskey. It's smooth, it's elegant, and it's black owned. So support the home team, Greenwood Whiskey. Like I said earlier, it is the holiday season. I would like to tell you all, first of all, thank you for listening. Next, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving. And yes, I know, you know, a lot of my woke people will hit me with the what this holiday means to me type stuff, and that's cool, but it's still a time for family. If you can't get to family, you know, Zoom, FaceTime, all of the above, just to tell your loved ones that you love them, check up on them, and let your people know that you care, because that's what this time is all about, especially in times that we're living in right now where COVID is taking place, where you have a lot of hate taking place. You know, check up on the people that are close to you, even though you may not be able to physically be there. Tell them happy holidays and let them know they are loved and appreciated. And if anything is needed, that you are there. It's a tip from the committee. So, let's get into it, man. Last week, we went heavy on COVID, college football, sexual assault scandals, things like that. And I want to just quickly, you know what I'm saying? I want to move quickly in this because I don't want to hold you just because it is the holidays and I know you have things to do. So what I want to do quickly, I want to talk a little NBA. It's free agent season. The draft just passed. A lot of things are happening. A lot of teams are building. A lot of people are watching with a watchful eye to see what their favorite organization is doing. I also want to touch on the NFL. Winners, losers, what happened? How did my predictions come out? I want to talk about that. I also want to quickly talk about NCAA basketball because it's that time of year also. This is the time of season where you would see the Alaskan shootout, the Honolulu, you know, kids going out to various tournaments and starting up, and they're starting to get the feet wet for basketball, and there may be reasons why those things aren't happening. I'm sure you know what the reason would be. So, like I said earlier, man, I want to start it off and talk about the draft, NBA draft real quick. I thought it was cool. You know, the whole virtual thing, the NFL got us ready for the virtual draft. So I don't think it was anything, you know, shocking that was going on. But I think, I honestly actually believe the only thing that hurts the virtual draft is the fact that they can't shake hands with the commissioner. Yes, they can't shake hands with the commissioner. But beyond that, I think it's better. I think it's better. I think you get to see, I like the genuine reaction of the kid, of the families, the people around him. I like to watch that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the cool thing, watching someone's lives being changed in an instant is dope. Like, there's nothing that you can see. There's nothing that would bring me more joy than that, than watching these young men understand that my dreams have been fulfilled. Watching someone's dreams be accomplished is a beautiful thing. So I like the NBA draft. And quickly, without going through the draft, man, I think Ant-Man is a great pick for the Timberwolves. I like it. Once again, I know this is an unpopular opinion, But everyone is super high on Ant-Man. I say Ant-Man because he's from here, and I've had a few run-ins with the young man. Good kid. Great kid. Hell of a kid. Hell of a story with his mother and grandmother passing. His brother and pretty much his brother has kind of been his mentor, his sister. But I compare him. Like, I've heard comparisons to Bradley Beal. I've heard comparisons to Dwayne Wade, and I think that would exceed my expectations of him. When I watch him, I see essentially Victor Oladipo. He has the same body frame, in similar games. Like, and to say Victor Oladipo, when I say that, people look at me like, "What? You tripping? Hell no!" And I'm like, "Wait a minute. If your team drafted Victor Oladipo, would you be mad?" It's not a bad comparison. There's a lot of people that got drafted number one that wasn't hitting on nothing. So, I'll take Victor Oladipo. You know, I figured and assumed that the Golden State Warriors would go with Wiseman. Shout out to my guy, Carol Voice Media. We put up we had a little wager on who they would take. He thought they would continue to go with the young LaMelo Ball. I figured they would go the big man route. You know, you saw what happened. But I figured they would do that. And while we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, I hate to hear it for Klay Thompson. I really do. Klay, if you haven't heard, Klay was rehabbing his injured knee. And was, like, working super hard, and was almost there. He's ready. He's getting amped up to come back for the season. And he tears his Achilles. So, another setback, another hurdle, another step backwards in the excitement. But the Golden State Warriors have done some things, and we'll talk about that when we start talking about free agency, have done some things that may soften that impact a little bit. And we all, when I say we, I mean everyone who's a fan of basketball, and yes, I'm speaking for you, we're all wishing Klay a speedy recovery and a healthy return. Shouts out to you, Klay. Going from there, man, like, if you're asking me, I would tell you to me that Philly got the steal of the draft in Tyrese Maxey. I'm up on Tyrese Maxey because I think he's a nice scorer. He's a Harden type player to me. James Harden. He's a James Harden type player to me. He's probably a little shorter. I think Maxey's like 6'3", 6'4". James Harden a lot more along the lines of 6'5", 6'6". But they have, once again, body, style, frame, movements. He's that type player. And if he can put in the work that James does, because James works extremely hard on a lot of that stuff that you say, oh, that's some bull. You see that shot? How you make that shot? He just walked right there. He's planned it out. He's done it over and over, thousands of times, to where it's automatic. And if Maxey can do that type of work, putting that type of time and effort and energy into the league, I think he will get similar results. I won't say the same results, but I would say he will get similar results. And I think that's a good pick from Philly with the number 21 pick. That was a dope pick. So, you know, again, the draft. And just talking about Philly, Philly's making moves. Philly's making moves. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail in this podcast right now because I don't think that it's all settled. You still have free agents out there. You still have trades to be made. You have a lot of teams that are making a lot of moves before this. They're going to make a lot of moves before this season starts. So I'm just going to talk about what's happening thus far. Moving on to free agency. And once again, you're listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. I thank you. I welcome you in. Happy holidays. And peace and love as we take this journey on the holiday. NFL free agency started just this past weekend. And man, before I even get into a lot of the moves that are being made, I want to talk about this culture change. And I go through it with a lot of my guys. I got a bunch of guys that I talk to, I talk sports with, I talk sports around. I try to talk to as many people as I possibly can so that I can get a feel for how you all think, how everyone thinks, because everybody doesn't think like I think. And the older generation, and I say older, 35 and above, typically believes that they don't like a lot of this player movement. They don't like a lot of these players clicking up together, banding up together, and playing on one team together for a couple years, and then you jump over to this team, and you get with him, and y'all get together for a couple years, and boom. You know, same thing over and over again. It's almost like you're a mercenary. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's dope, personally. And the reason why I think it's dope is because I like the player to have the power. Because for so long, the players, while they were essentially the stars, but they were treated as if they were the dishwasher. They were the guy in the back washing the dishes. You know what I'm saying? So the ownership dictated where you played. They made deals and dictated of where you played, how long you played, how much you got paid. And you couldn't, if you wanted to, you couldn't back out of a deal. If you wanted to, you couldn't demand a trade. If you wanted to, you couldn't do anything. If you decided that I was going to continue to play basketball, but I want to play for the Knicks, and the Lakers was like, okay, but we're not going to trade you to the Knicks. So what you need to do is lace up your chucks and get your ass back out there and put on this jersey that we gave you, or else you just don't play. Period. They didn't have any control. So now I think what's happened, whether you blame LeBron, whether you blame culture, whatever, players have realized their importance. I mean, you can even take it as far back to Jordan, him taking the game globally and realizing his importance, not just to the Bulls, his importance to the game. These players have realized their importance to the game, and after realizing their importance to the game, they're demanding partnership. They're looking at it as a partner. Because especially if you look at it from a LeBron standpoint, while yes, the Buss family owns the Lakers, but when you bring in a guy like LeBron, LeBron essentially saying, hey, I want these guys to play with me. I don't want a bunch of rookies that I need to hold their hand and teach them how to play basketball. I want vets. And you say, oh, man, that's just LeBron. LeBron can do that. Okay. When Kyrie and KD decided they were going to go up to Brooklyn, guess what happened? Brooklyn asked them before making Steve Nash the head coach if that was cool. Because what Brooklyn didn't want to do was hire someone and then Kyrie be like, man, get this chump up out of here. I ain't playing for him. Huh? Yeah. Value. Importance. And you can see the shift. Like the teams that are recognizing that that's what needs to be done are teams that are emerging. The teams that are still trying to hold on to the old school way of doing things are kind of getting put on the back burner. You know, I'm just going to wait on the draft. I'm just going to acquire a few trades here and there and add my pieces. Well, if you do that, it's going to take 30 years before your team to get good. So, good luck. Because for so long, when you think about it and you watch these games for so long, it's taken like a player's value depended on the team. I'm going to say it again. In the 80s and the 90s and partially early 2000s, the player's value depended on the team. And you had great players who began to be overlooked because the team wasn't hitting no shit. Or the team was just decent and you would acknowledge the player, but you wouldn't really be like, all right, you know, yeah, he was dope. Look at a player like Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was clearly one of the coldest guys in the game. Reggie Miller was so dope that the things that players are doing now in terms of shooting the three, coming off the screen, coming off the dribble, catch and shoot, even with the flop, the pump fake, get you in the air, jump into your body, and still hit the three to get the four-point play, Reggie Miller was doing this stuff 30 years ago. 25 years ago, 95, 96, 97, he was doing this. But because the Indiana Pacers couldn't get past the Bulls and sometimes couldn't get past the Knicks, you rarely talk. It takes a basketball guy to sit here and talk about Reggie Miller and how good he was. The same with Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins was on the Hawks, and the Hawks would get booted on the first round of the playoffs if they made the playoffs while he was playing. So much so to the point where when the NBA had the All-50 team and everybody just knew that Dominique was going to be on the All-50 team, everybody around here, I'll say that, around Atlanta, Southeast, because we watched the games, we've seen the games, I think the games were coming on at the time and like on TBS. But because everyone around here in this region knew that Dominique was so dope that he just was, you know, a shoe-in to be on the top 50, they put in Scottie Pippen. And while I'm not saying Scottie Pippen didn't deserve to be there, I am saying Scottie Pippen wasn't no damn Dominique Wilkins at that time. See what I'm saying? I don't have the top 50 list in front of me, but there were guys on that top 50 list that I could say and argue that Dominique should take their job, take their spot. That any GM in the world would love to have Dominique over them. But because Dominique is tied to the Hawks, and the Hawks weren't a very good team, that he doesn't get that recognition. So now what happens is you can't focus and shift the blame of the team and the weight of the team on me anymore, because I can dictate. I can sign a four-year deal with an option in three after three, and I can play for the Hawks for 3 years. And if it ain't hitting, if it ain't clicking, if I don't like the team, if I don't like the GM, if I don't like the coach, then what I can do is I can exercise my option to go elsewhere. Simple as that. I have ownership in the league because I'm getting paid big bucks. Whether you're getting paid a supermax deal or whether you're just getting paid a regular deal, you're still getting paid a large amount of money. But I can dictate that. So now my greatness is determined by my play. It's not determined by my team anymore. Because a lot of times you look at a guy like a James Worthy, and even though James Worthy was super dope, everyone trumps up James Worthy to be one of the greatest of all times in terms of his position. And I'm comparing him now to Dominique Wilkins. And he gets way more accolades than Dominique would because he played for the Lakers and not the Hawks. So a player's greatness is tied to that team. Now you have to sit and you have to watch me. You got to watch me. You have to watch the player. And I'll show you how great I am. Because what's going to happen is, in terms of Kevin Durant, I'm going to go here and I'm going to win them a championship. Yes, Golden State would have won. They won the championship before KD got there. Would they have won without him? Maybe. We don't know. But what I do know is he went over there and he made them an unstoppable force. He also was the finals MVP twice. So you can't deny his impact. You can't. But Kevin Durant not going to be tied down to just saying, I'm a Golden State Warrior. Not going to be tied down and just hung out the dry saying, an Oklahoma City Thunder. No, I'm a great basketball player. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here and I'm going to win in this environment. And I'll kick it over here for a little while. And that's cool. And then guess what? I'm going to go over here. Let's go to Brooklyn. And I'm going to kick it with Kyrie. And I'll do my part in winning us a championship in Brooklyn. I don't know if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving can win a championship together. And looking at that, there's still moves being made. There's rumors about James Harden trying to join the team. There's rumors about possibly trading Kyrie to get James Harden. There's rumors, you know, if you have a big three or two, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I am more interested in that than I am in the old school way of every team is the same every year and we just add one player through the draft. And if you got a star, you got a star. And if you don't, you're searching for one through the draft every season, hoping that somebody emerges. No. That's not the new model. That's not the new wave, man. So I'm looking forward to it. Going through, and when we talk about a lot of this stuff, going through it, man, like, you can look and see. Like, some of these dudes are going out here, and they're clearly just grabbing money. They're grabbing money because they're at a point where you think they should be trying to play for a championship contender, and clearly you can see that's not the point. They're like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to go over here and get this bag real quick before I bow out. Get this final payday. And then you have your guys who actually go out and they chase rings. They're clicking up with LeBron. They're clicking up with KD. They're clicking up with whoever to try to say, okay, they're going to the Clippers. They're going somewhere. And they're trying to get in position to win a championship. So just going through real quickly. Some of the free agent moves that's happened so far. As of right now, I know Fred VanVleet has re-signed with Toronto. 4-year, I think it was $85 million deal. Speaking of just grabbing money, Gordon Hayward signs a deal with the Charlotte Hornets. 4 years, $120 million. Bogdan Bogdanovich, man, at first, if you look at it on the surface, you like, okay, well, he's just grabbing money because he's agreed to a 4-year contract with the Atlanta Hawks for $72 million. And the Kings probably have like two days to match, maybe one day now. But, and they're probably not going to match because I don't believe the Kings have the cap room. They just gave De'Aaron Fox a bunch of money. They just gave Buddy Hield a little bit of money. So I don't think they have room to actually give Bogdanovich some money. So he's probably going to be an Atlanta Hawk. And like I said, on the surface, you're like, oh, we just took that bread. Until you realize the Hawks also signed a deal with Danilo Gallinari. to come out and play on the wing also. The Hawks also signed Rajon Rondo, which appeared to be a quick money grab. It's like 2 years, like 15 mil. It's like I just take this quick 15 mils, go down to Atlanta, kick it for a little while. And then, like I said, now you got pieces around you. Now you got Bogdanovich. Now you got Gallinari. Now you got Rondo, along with Trey, along with Cam Reddish. And these guys might have a young team. John Collins is there. You got Clint Capela there. These guys might have a young team mixed with vets that could make some moves. They're a playoff team. And worse comes to worse, if Atlanta does just go to the playoffs, what happens is maybe Trey, maybe that whole mix is a good vibe. And as you go to the playoffs, word begins to spread and more people want to come to Atlanta to play. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'll get off my Atlanta Hawk kick right now. I know you probably may or may not be interested in it. I'll continue to go down. Joe Harris re-signed with the Brooklyn Nets. 4 years, $75 million. Like I said, Gallinari signed with the Hawks, a 3 year, $61 million deal. Gordon Dragic signed back with the Heat. Jeremy Grant made some moves. He left Denver. He's playing 3 years, $60 million with the Detroit Pistons. Montrezl Harrell made a splash. Now, I don't know if he could have gotten more money on the market, but I know that this is a dope move for both parties. Montrezl Harrell has basically stayed in the same building but just changed jerseys. Montrezl Harrell has gone from the Clippers to the Lakers with a 2 year deal for about $19 million. And I ain't mad at it. You know what I'm saying? Marcus Morris signed back with the Clippers for a $64 million deal. And that's cool. Serge Ibaka is leaving Toronto to go to the Clippers. Mark Gasol is leaving Toronto to go to the Lakers. So Marcus Morris and Serge Ibaka are playing for the Clippers. Montrezl Harrell and now Mark Gasol are playing for the Lakers. So with that, Dwight Howard's out. Dwight Howard's playing for Philly. JaVale McGee is out. I, at the time, don't really recall where JaVale McGee is at, but he's out. You see what I'm saying when I'm saying this season is very interesting with the way every player is moving. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is back with the Lakers. Whew. Is he a clutch guy? If he is, he ought to be kissing LeBron's rings every day, because I don't see anyone else paying KCP three-year deal, $40 million. Mm. Paul Millsap signed a one-year deal to stay in Denver. Tristan Thompson is on the move. He signed a two-year deal. He's going from Cleveland to Boston. Jay Crowder is headed out of Miami. He signed a three-year, $30 million deal to go to Phoenix. Derek Favors is headed back to Utah. He signed a three-year, $27 million deal. Justin Holiday is staying put in Indiana. Signed for 3 years, $18 million. Let me go through a couple of other names here that you may have interest in. Rodney Hood is staying put. He's agreed to a two-year, $21 million deal. Melo is staying put. I don't have the details of his deal. So, Hassan Whiteside is essentially still a free agent. Brandon Ingram is a restricted free agent. Anthony Davis is taking the option. I don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Ingram, but I do believe that Anthony Davis is going to go back and be a Laker still. So that's just some of the things that are going down in terms of NBA free agency. So what I want to do is revisit all of this possibly right before the season starts, because I'll give you the who's where, what's expected, my predictions, what I'm excited to see, what I'm interested to see, if someone will fail, collapse, exceed, etc. You know, I'll do all that. Once again, you're tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I'm your host, Commissioner Gordon, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to switch gears real quickly because, like I said, I don't want to keep you here all afternoon. I'm going to switch over to the NFL and give you a couple quick stories. Before I do that, like I said, I give you my predictions every week, and this week I am 5-9. I have 8 on my paper because I just didn't factor in the loss last night. I picked Tampa Bay to beat the Rams, and Brady went out, and I won't say Brady had a bad game. Tampa had a bad game offensively. I think part of this comes from we're just going to try to make Antonio Brown a part of our offense instead of letting it happen organically, instead of him fitting in and catching the balls where he can when he's open. We're going to, every now and then, force a play to him to see if we can just get him open down the sideline or on a certain route, on a post, whatever. And that, like I told you before, when the season first started, that line isn't holding up enough to where you can continuously throw shots down the field. And Tom Brady's seeing it, he's feeling it. And I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers have their best success when they get the ball out of Tom's hands, and they get the ball to Fournette out in the flats, when you have Godwin quickly running the outs, and then you take your shots down there with Mike Evans, when you get the ball over to Grump, you know, those 6, 7, 8 yard passes that turn into first downs, that turn into 15 yard gains, that may turn into a 20 yard gain. That's where they have the most success, but they're too busy and too focused to throw it down the field that is hurting the team. Pat Mahomes comes back and does Pat Mahomes type stuff at Las Vegas against the Raiders. Like, the Raiders are a good looking football team. I don't know how far they'll go in the playoffs, just depending on where they'll be seated, but they will make noise. And hopefully, I'm looking forward to an AFC championship where it is the Raiders versus Kansas City, because the games that we've seen with them so far have been great. Derek Carr drove the team down and made a catch. Like, Derek Waller was super wide open. Like, there was no one there. It was social distance defense. There was no one there. You know, he could have put his arms out and it was 6 feet apart. Wide open. But what happens is the Raiders scored too early. And I hate when people say, oh, you scored too early. You better score when you can damn score, because it's not a guarantee. So the whole score too early thing, yes, it was, you left a lot of time on the clock. So much so that Pat Mahomes, I think it was a minute and a half, Pat Mahomes got the ball, drove the length of the field, hit Kelce in the end zone. He was just as wide open. Social distance defense, just as wide open. And they still had like somewhere between 14 seconds left on the clock. Still had time on the clock. So with the games that I've seen these two teams play, I hope to see another. I hope that it's the AFC championship game, because I would be glued and locked in for that showdown. Another game, a game that hurt me was Indy beat Green Bay in overtime. Green Bay, it was, Indy played over their head that game, I will say. Indy played over the head. I didn't take Indy because I think Green Bay is a better team, and I still do. Tua gets pulled after getting sacked 6 times in Miami. Possible injury. I think they said he's okay, and he'll be starting next week. But one thing that happens is I think Tua got a little cocky, and karma bit him in his ass a little bit. Because what happens is you make comments like, oh, the NBA is tough. I mean, the NFL is tough. But, man, I thought it would be harder than this. This is – I got this, you know. And those weren't his exact words, but I'm paraphrasing. But he basically said, yeah, NBA in the NFL, it's a pretty tough league. But, yeah, it ain't that bad. It ain't all that y'all be talking about. And karma came and bit him in his ass. And, you know, it happens. Again, I send a well wish, a lot of well wishes to Joe Burrow and his family. Joe went out and got hurt, injured in the third quarter for Cincinnati. They were playing the Washington football team. And Joe's a gamer. Joe's a gamer. You could tell that as he tried to make a run into the end zone, he was met by Chase Young. Chase Young looked like a freight train. He popped Joe Burrow right before he got to the end zone. But the gamesmanship in them both, when on the play, that's not the play where Joe got hurt. When Joe got hurt, you could see that these guys genuinely care for each other. And Joe Burrow and Washington teammates, Cincinnati teammates, they all gathered around. They wished him well and hoped for the best. But now we're finding out that Joe Burrow, I think, has torn his ACL as well as his MCL. And he's tweeted out that he will be back, minor setback, major comeback, coming back next season. You know, it can't hold me down is what I think he said or tweeted out on Twitter. So, well wishes, speedy recovery to Joe Burrow. I can't wait to see you back next season. Baltimore loses in overtime to Tennessee. That hurt me in my predictions. They just ran into, you know, King Henry. King Henry gave them down a run for the ages in overtime. You got to respect it. Maybe Tennessee has their number because it seems to be their formula when they play Baltimore. They put them, they out Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? They out ugly the game better than Baltimore does. And it forces Baltimore to try to do things that they wouldn't normally do because it forces Baltimore to get behind. And when Baltimore gets behind, it struggles a little bit. But this game was pretty good. They went back and forth and also wound up going into overtime. Like I said, Derrick Henry takes off on the run and with a walk-off touchdown. So, like I said, I went 5-9 on predictions. I won't even get into a lot of what's going on in terms of COVID hitting. COVID hitting the NFL. Speaking of Baltimore, they had a couple people, I think, running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, test positive. They paused all activities in the facility. And I also want to know later, I want to know what happens. Like, I want to examine how we go from we play the game on Sunday and then we figure out on Monday we got 3 damn players with COVID. So I'll get into that also. Before I get to my NFL predictions, and like I said, we're wrapping this up. But before I get into my NFL predictions, what I want to do, is quickly just give you the, since I'm talking about COVID, give you the basically the rundown of what's going on. NCAA, men's basketball, like I said, usually this time of year, guys are flying out, Hawaii, Alaska, Big Ten versus ACC, SEC versus, you know, Big 12. Those tournaments are usually going on. Everything is building and getting exciting to lead all the way up to March Madness. Well, as I told you with college football, a lot of these college campuses aren't as safe and secure as they think, as they would like us to believe that they are. These kids are not as isolated as they would like us to believe that they are. So what's happening is these kids on these campuses are coming down with COVID, and a lot of these programs have to halt activities. And so a lot of these midnight madnesses, a lot of these pep rallies and things like that that would usually take place, a lot of these conference games that would take place, they're being put on hold. They're being pushed back. So stay on the lookout for what's going on in college basketball. There's a lot of dope players. There's a lot of great players that I'm looking forward to seeing play. And I'm looking forward to see play basketball. But I don't know when we will get the chance to see them play. So let's move forward. Let's bring it back to the NFL Week 12. Thanksgiving Day. The Lions take on the Houston Texans. My heart is telling me Houston, but I believe Thanksgiving. Detroit has more time and more experience playing in that Thanksgiving Day game. I'm going to go with the Lions. The 4:30 game, Dallas is taking on Washington. Dallas may have found a formula, while Washington won also against Cincinnati. I think Dallas, I'm going to pick Dallas here. Whew. The Steelers versus the Ravens is the 8 o'clock game. This is what I'm going to do, honestly. I'm going to predict it here first. Not just go out on a limb. I'll predict it here first. The Baltimore Ravens, if this game is played, because we don't really know. Like I said, COVID has struck the Baltimore facility. I believe they'll probably play. And you know what? Just talking, saying it out loud. Saying it out loud, man, made me reconsider what I was about to say. I was about to say I think the Ravens and the Steelers their first loss. The Steelers are currently 10-0. No, I'm picking the Steelers here. Just for the COVID reason. If J.K. Dobbins doesn't play, if Mark Ingram isn't playing, I think the running game is suffering. And all the focus will be on Lamar Jackson. And the Steelers eat that stuff for lunch. I like the Steelers against the Ravens. The Raiders play the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday in Atlanta. I've seen nothing to make me say Atlanta. I'm taking the Raiders. Buffalo against the Chargers. Good win for the young kid last week, Justin Herbert. But Buffalo is going to show him how to play. I'm taking the Bills. The Bengals against the Giants. I'm taking the Giants simply because I don't know what the Bengals is going to be without their QB. The Titans against the Colts. I'm taking the Titans and their style of play versus the Colts. Minnesota against Carolina. I'm taking Minnesota. New England against Arizona. Playing in Foxborough. I'm taking Arizona. The Jets against Miami Dolphins. Tua should come back and get a win against the Jets. Jacksonville against the Browns. Give me the Browns. The Saints against the Broncos. I'll take the Saints. The Rams host the 49ers. It looks to be the Rams are the better team right now. I'll take the Rams. This is a good one. The Chiefs take on the Buccaneers. In Raymond James Stadium. It's going to be a hell of a game. Give me Kansas City. The Bears take on the Packers in Lambeau. Give me the Packers. Monday night, Seattle Seahawks take on the somehow still in first place Philadelphia Eagles. Give me Russ and the Seahawks. So, those are my predictions for this week. How will I do? Hopefully, I'll do a lot better than I did last week. Last week, I made educated picks. It's just that sometimes football happens. So, I mentioned it before. I'm not going to hold you all afternoon. I'm going to thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm wishing you a happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Tell someone that you love them. Even if you can't be there physically, be there for family. Thanks to all the sponsors, Greenwood Whiskey, our partners, Coffee and Kush brand. Thank you all. Until then, I'll holler.
Okay, bye.